It's good to see you this evening. Tonight we're going to examine the 119th Psalm. I know I've had some criticism in the last few weeks that my sermons were too short. And so we're going to look at the longest psalm there is. It's 176 verses. We'll start with, I'm not going to read this whole psalm because it is 176 verses, and I read it a couple of times this week getting ready for this, but I would like for you guys to stay here with me. This is not only a long psalm, but it is an extremely pointed psalm. It's a more of a declaration and it's a plea as well as a declaration, and he puts it in the form of where he'll make the statement of what he needs and then the answer to it, what he needs. And so this is a poetic device. I've been told that if you could read this in Hebrew, it would even have a rhythm and a beat to it that was you would recognize it as a poem or a song. The main thing about this song is that he is describing the importance of the Word of God, especially the law of God. There are some people who don't like the Old Testament. I've actually had people hold their little New Testament and say, "This is the only Bible you need. This is the only Bible I have," and they don't want to hear anything about it. You would have a long argument with the writer of this psalm because he had never heard of the New Testament, but what he did know were the statutes of God, the revelations of God, and the truths of God, and he is not only glorifying those great truths, but he's also describing the need that he has for them. What we're going to do is a little different way than we usually do. I can't even use every time these phrases are in this psalm. It's a long one, but I pick out several. And if you'll open your Bible there, we've got them in order anyway, and we'll look at these verses one at a time, about 20 or so verses that are given instead of the whole 176. I think these passages are typical of the book, and they illustrate the main theme of this book. I want you to start with verse 18. In verse 18, he said, "Open my eyes that I may behold the wonderful things out of thy law." He's saying, "I'm blind and I need to see, and there are things I can't see without help. I need help because I can't see you with my eyes closed or blind." He's asking that his eyes be opened so that there's wonderful truths that are available in God's Word, in the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Genesis, these wonderful things that you can know about God. These wonderful truths are there, and he's asking God for help in being able to see. The picture that he draws for us here is a person who is trying to make a go through life without being able to see where the barriers are, where the boundaries are, where the cliffs are, and he's trying to get to know God that he can't see. I can't help but think of Moses when he was begging God to show me your face. And God was telling him he couldn't see him, he wouldn't see him, but he just kept begging him to do that. That's what we see happening here. And so he said, "I'm blind and I need to see. Open my eyes. I'm blind and I need to see." We could all say amen to that, couldn't we? I need to see the wonderful things that God has given to. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, he said, "My soul is consumed with longing for thy ordinances at all times." Here he's describing something that almost sounds like it came from the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus talked about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Here this psalmist tells me, "I am famished. I am starving. There is a hunger in me that can't be satisfied anywhere except with the Word of God and the law of God." He said, I'm famished in my soul for your word all the time. I'm never quite satisfied with it. What did Jesus say? He said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be satisfied. And that's what he's calling for and begging for in verse 20. In verse 26, he uses a phrase that he's going to use over and over again in this passage. He says, teach me your statutes. Make me understand your precepts. Now, the truth is, we like the promises. We love the stories. We like the illustrations. But the commandments and the statutes, well, they're kind of rough, aren't they? Sometimes they're kind of boring, and sometimes they're kind of restrictive. But here this man is begging to know the statutes. I want to know what the rules are. I want to know what makes you happy and what makes you unhappy. And he says, please teach me your statutes and make me understand your precepts. Now, there's a slight difference between statutes, precepts, and ordinances, but he uses them in this psalm as if they were all synonyms. And he's saying, what I want to know, only you can give to me. Look at verse 27. He said, when I do this, when you've opened my eyes, when I've feasted on your word, when you've taught me your statutes, in verse 27, he said, make me understand the ways of your precepts, and then I will meditate on the wonder, on your wondrous works. Here he's talking about the great thing that will happen for him. And when he uses the word meditate, this is the same word that if you were describing a cow chewing its cud. It's the constant, continuous chewing on it, thinking about it, examining it, tasting it. He said, that's what I'll do with your word. You'll give it to me, I'll chew on it, I'll think about it, I'll pray over it, I'll make it mine. He says, as I chew on your truth, I never get tired of it. I never get tired of what I find and what it gives to me. Look at verse 32. In verse 32, he comes up again with this same thought. And when he said, I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou enlargest my understanding. I'll run in the way of your commandments. I know there's a way I ought to go. I know there's a path. Jesus would describe that path as a narrow path that leads to life and few find it. This psalmist wants to find it. He wants to go where God wants him to go. He wants to walk in the way. When you say way in the Bible, it's using a highway or a path as the example, but he's describing a procedure or a destination you're moving towards and the path that takes you to it. He says, I will run in your way. I know there's a way. I know it's a narrow way and it leads to life. And please, God, help me find it. How is he going to do that? By enlarging my understanding. This is not just a synonym of the word, but this is a synonym of that idea that we saw up here when he said, teach me your statutes. This is a person who loves the word of God. And this is a person who is in a worshipful attitude about what I can get from the word of God. We've already seen I can feed on it. It opens my eyes. I can meditate on it, and now it'll give me the way that I can find. Another place here in this, it's not one of them that we marked. He talks about the word of God is like a light to my feet. In verse 33, he says, teach me your way. Look at these exact words. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep them to the end. Teach me the way of your statutes. These truths never get old. These truths are always there. They're eternal in nature. The statutes are there. The truths are there. And I will stay on it. I will keep it to the end. They will take me home, he's saying. I will follow them to the end. And when I get there, we even sing, the way of the truth of the Lord. What is it? Leads home. When we say leads home. And that's what he's telling us here. They will take me home. Look at verse 34. He says, give me understanding. That's sort of like teach me your statutes, isn't it? Give me understanding so I can keep your law and observe it with all my heart. I want to be who you want me to be. I want to be complete. I don't want to hold anything back. So God, don't hold anything back from me. Help me to completely obey you. Now, we're all in favor of some obedience, some partial obedience, the kind of thing that Saul would talk to Samuel about when he said, I've kept the commandments of the Lord, when he had done a couple of the many things that God had told him to do, but had overlooked the big ideas there. But this psalmist doesn't want that. He said, I want to be completely right with you. I want to be in compliance with you. I want you to be proud of me. Look at verse 35. He said, lead me in the paths of thy commandments. That's just like saying, teach me your statutes. And he says, why? For I delight in them. I have a joy deep in my heart. He said, I delight in the word of God. I can't get enough of it. I delight. There's some foods that I delight in. I never say, oh no, don't fix that, because I love it. Maybe I don't need it, but the word of God is not like that. The word of God is there all the time and it's good for you. And unlike some vegetables, it even tastes good. And it's, he says, I take delight in it. I enjoy it. Look at verse 36, where he changes the thought a little bit. And he said, incline my heart to thy testimonies. Here he's moving from looking at something or following a path. He's asking God to take hands-on operation with him. This is the kind of idea that you would have if you were training a vine. The vine's growing, but it's not growing where it should grow. I've got a grapevine growing in the backyard, and it's really growing, but it's growing away from the trellis that I want it on. And so I'm always pushing it up there, trying to get it. I'm wanting to incline it to follow my will. This man is saying, you have my permission to incline. Maybe a better example would be a mother and a child. I remember so many times when my mother would take my head and her face in her hands and she would point it right at her before she told me the very important thing that she wanted me to know. She was inclining my face towards her. The writer of the psalm here says, do that to me. While you're teaching me, make sure that I incline my face towards you. I had a fourth grade teacher named Miss Perkins who had a stick about that long. It wasn't very big around, but she tapped the stick all day long. It was like a sword that she went into battle with. And what she was going into battle with were stubborn little boys. And many, many times a week, I would get tapped on the side of the head with that stick, and she would say, quit looking out the window. Class is over here. What we're doing is this. What was she doing? She was attempting to incline my face towards what I needed. The writer of this psalm is saying that very thing. He says, do it to me, God. You know how I am. You know how I'm always looking the wrong way. You know how I'm always going the right way. He says, do that. And he even gives one of the distractions that keep us from looking where we're supposed to look, and that stuff. He said, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to gain. Now, is there not gain in learning the will of God? No, you know what he's talking about. You know that I'm always eager for gain. I'm always listening. A fellow one time said, how do people hear the truth? How do they pay attention? He said, we listen to what we love. What are you talking about? They were walking down a big city. He takes some change out of his pocket and he throws it on the ground. And when the chains hit the ground, everybody on the sidewalk turned to look. We know what it sounds like when money hits the ground, and we all love money. He says, we don't have any trouble paying attention if it's stuff involved in it. We know the kind of shoes we like. We know the kind of shirts we like. We know the kind of stuff we like. We know what the newest car is like. We know all about all that stuff because it's not hard to do that. He said, God, help me with this. You know how I am. You know how I'm always looking out the window. Help me. Help me to incline or to train me to look where I'm supposed to look. Verse 64, he said, the earth is full of your steadfast love. You know, it's not like you haven't given us lots of indicators. Look around and what do you see? You see the steadfast love of the Lord. You see that He gave us enough air to breathe, enough water to drink. He gave us the world that we live in. You know the people He's put around us. You know how many times He has acted in our behalf because He loves us. He says, do some more. Teach me your statutes. I know you love me. Everywhere I look, I see that. I know that you're always around me. You're always doing these great things for me. History would tell us that. Our environment would tell us that. Our very life story would tell us that. But I need to know the absolute truth. What I need is not this. Sometimes the stuff we see around us, we look at it sort of, we adapt it to our own thoughts. What we need is objective truth, not subjective truth. Teach me your statutes. Then I'm not going to be swayed by something I might misunderstand. There's plenty of evidence. Give me your statutes. Teach them to me. In verse 66, he said, there's another thing that not only am I distracted easily, but there's another thing that I need. But I need wisdom. He said, teach me good judgment. Verse 66, I need knowledge, but I also need wisdom. I need to know how to make the right decisions. A Bible word for that would be discernment. I need that. Why do I need that? Because I believe in your commandments. And that means I believe the judgments are there. I believe the punishments are there. I believe the rewards are there. And since I believe that's true, I need good judgment so that I'll make the right decisions. Verse 67, he says, I've not always been faithful. I'm not always, my story is kind of a rough one. My story is not always pretty. I'm on track now. I am faithful now. And I ask you, God, to teach me your statutes. Teach me your statutes. Teach me your way. Look at verse 71. He says, even pain and discipline are good, because from it I learn your statutes. Isn't it good to know that you shouldn't put your hand in a hot skillet? That's painful, but it's a very valuable lesson to learn. It's a valuable lesson to know not to lean too far off of a tall ladder, because the law of God says gravity works all the time. And because of that, even the pain that we experienced at some time was beneficial for us. And so even when we are being disciplined by God, even when we are reaping the result of sin, either ours or someone else's, he said, even pain is good, because from it I learn your statutes. What's he saying here? Nothing is more important than learning the statutes of God, learning the commandments of God and the ways of God. Look at verse 73. He said, you made me with your very hands. You created me. I am yours. Help me finish this job. What did he want him to do? Teach me your statutes. I should learn them because I'm yours. You made me. Teach me your statutes. Look at verse 124. He says, please continue to show your steadfast love. Lord, please never, ever, ever stop loving me. Teach me your statutes. How many times does he have to say it for us to know that he believes it? He's giving us all the reasons to study the Word of God. He's given us all the reasons when we're plodding through Leviticus. He's telling us there's good that comes from this. We're learning about God. We're learning about sin. We're learning about his promises. We're learning his statutes. It's even more important to us now that we know a lot more about God to know what makes him happy. So he says in verse 135, he says, stay close. The words he uses are that your face will shine upon me. What is that face shining upon you business. Well, it means that you're paying close attention to me, and I like that, God. I want you to do that. But it means something else. It means that you approve of me. You're proud of me. You're pleased with me. In the New Testament, we see that God works his good pleasure in us. And that's such an amazing thought to think that I can be part of anything that makes God pleased. You've seen it, haven't you? You've seen it when your grandchild or your child does something especially well. You look at it and you look at that child, and it's not just that you smile, you glow. Girls, if you really love your husband, sometimes you look at him and you glow. You smile. He pleases you. Guys, if you love your wife, sometimes you look at her and you glow because she pleases you. This guy is saying, what I want is for when you to look at me, God, you smile. So teach me your ways so that I won't do it again. Now, even a dog can learn that. Maybe you've had a dog that when he does something that's naughty, he knows it and he doesn't want to look at you. But when he's done something that you know you're going to like, he just can't get enough of your praise. We were in the yard one time at the farm, and Captain, the big dog that they had, killed a snake that crawled into the middle of our party. He spotted it, he ran between us and the danger, and he killed the snake. My father-in-law says, good boy. Captain was so proud. He pranced around the yard, and then he went over and he sat there by Lee for a while, and Lee petted on him and kept telling him what a good boy he was. In a little while, Captain looked over at that snake again. And he attacked it just like it had just now crawled into the yard. And he shook it and he went through all of that. And then he looked back at Lee and Lee says, you're a good boy. And he petted him some more. After a while, Captain looked over at the snake again. And he went over and he grabbed it and Lee said, I'm not going to praise you for that snake the third time. Captain dropped the snake and went back to whatever he was doing. Even dogs want their master to love them and praise them and their face to glow when they come through and do the right thing at the right time in the right place. How do I know what that is? I have to know what God wants from me. How do I know that? He says, teach me your statutes. Teach me your will. I have to know it. This is not something we can bluff our way through. This is not something we can just assume we're going to know everything. We love God and we want to be pleasing to him. We want him, his face to shine upon us. I want God to be pleased with me, don't you? Look at 144. He says here, your testimonies or your truth or the things that are in your word are always righteous. And they never end. He says the word of God is eternal. The truths of God are eternal. This is not something that is a temporary thing. They never wear out. They never get old. They never become obsolete. Teach me. And then he adds to it. Teach me your statutes. What? That I may live forever. I want to be eternal too. I want to live. I want to be like your word. I need to know what your statutes are. The last verse is the happiest one in the whole psalm. He says in verse 176, I've stayed on track. I'm coming to the finish. If Paul was writing this, he would say, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Here he says, I finished. And the reason that I'm on track and the future looks good to me and I'm looking forward to my home with you is I do not forget your commandments. The Word of God is not just something that teaches us and disciplines us. and reveals to us and shows us the boundaries and all of that, the Word of God is also such a great comfort of knowing when we're in compliance. If you were in Egypt on the night of the Passover, when it was terrifying, when you still, no matter what you do, you know that me and God are far apart, and that what possible hope do I have that God will be kind to me? You know you did what He told you to do, and He gives you confidence. I want to tell you, there have been many times in my life when I felt wretched, when I was, I'm not going to tell you any of them, but I didn't feel very saved. And I take great delight at that time in knowing that I've done what He told me to do. I obeyed His commandments. I've been baptized. I confessed His name before men. I repented of my sins. And even in that wretched moment, when I do what He tells me to do in His Word, when I've said I'm sorry or made restitution or whatever else, when I've taken Him at His Word, there's great, great joy and great comfort. Because what else are we going to do? Are we going to put our confidence in when we feel good? Is that what we're going to do? Are we going to put our confidence in that I'm better than you and better than you and I'm a little bit better than you? Is that what we're going to do? No, even when our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and we go back to His Word and we have it there in writing. We know we have done what He said. And this writer says, I'm getting close to the end of my race. I've finished this race and I'm doing good, because I've not forgotten your commandments. I'm in compliance. Now, if that makes you a legalist, then you're a legalist. But that's not what the whole idea here is. The idea is that God not only loved us and gave us a body and gave us breath and gave us opportunities and gave us wealth, not only did God offer salvation to us, He actually gave us a way that we could know if we're right with Him. He gave us His Word. He gave us His statutes. He gave us His ordinances. He gave us His commandments. And He gave us His promises. And when we look at those, we can know, especially if we ask Him for wisdom, we're able to know that if we're in compliance with Him, and we're able to have this joy. When you read Paul's last writings to Timothy, don't you want that to be you? Don't you want to look ahead with great anticipation? Now, Paul could have written every one of these. He could have said, part of my life is not that good. I killed a preacher one time. He could have said that. But he knows he's in compliance. He knows when Jesus called him, he went. He knows he did what the prophet told him to do. He knows when God told him to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, he did it. And this writer, at least 800 years before, this writer is writing to him, and what's he telling him? He's telling him, you can have confidence because you know His will. And the thing that he asked for more times than I mentioned tonight, teach me your ways. Teach me your statutes. Teach me your ordinances. Well, they're there. They're there for us. I would invite you to say the same thing to God. I would invite you to put your face in His hands so that He can incline you in the right direction. I would invite you to put your life into His possession. I would invite you to meditate on His Word. I would invite you to read His statutes and realize that even when they hurt, it's good, because the discipline and even the pain in becoming a Christian and living the Christian life teaches us this confidence that we have, because this discipline, this pain is actually training us. I would invite you to embrace this great psalm. We didn't have time to read the whole thing tonight, but you should. Take time to read this great psalm, the longest psalm there is, but it's long because he's talking about a really, really big subject. And won't you do it? Now you can start right now. Won't you come to God while we stand and sing?